Luke chapter 2. There's a man that is described in verses 25 through 34, and this man's name is Simeon. He is a fellow that is very clearly described here, quite a few things about him. We're going to look at some of those in just a minute. But I'm reminded as I begin to look at this passage that we ought to be aware that God knows us better than we know ourselves. Say, well, what difference does that make, Pastor? Say, one day we're going to stand before God, and do you understand that nothing can be hidden from Him? Amen. You can hide things from other people. You can refuse to disclose them, or you can, you know, say something different or whatever. But God knows our heart. God knows what we love. God knows what we seek. God knows all the details. When you and I do things, we do things for a reason. You know, we have a purpose behind the things that we do. God doesn't just know what we do. He knows why we do it. Now, this man, you'll see that in this man's life, this man Simeon, God knows whether we love God or not. Usually, and the Bible is pretty clear about this, if you love God, people will know it. You can see it, and likewise, you can see in people that don't love God, you can see that as well. You know, it amazes me that as much as God knows about mankind and the wickedness of man and the sins and selfishness and foolishness of man, that He was still willing to send His Son to die and pay for our sins. And even in the lives of saved people, we see things that are really detestable, really ugly. And God died for those sins, but He also died for the sins of the most wicked people in the world. People that have committed things that we would not dare speak of in public. They're so horrible. And yet Jesus Christ came to die for those sins. I look at this passage, I see what the Lord's going to tell us about this man named Simeon. And I ask myself, does God see these things in me that He sees in Simeon? Because you're going to find that Simeon is a tremendous example of what a person ought to be. And I'll show you two or three things about him that set him apart. But let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read these verses, first of all, Luke chapter 2, and then we'll pray for God's power in the service today. The Bible says in verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." That's a term for the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. "And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we pray that we could step aside for a few moments and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to show us from this passage what you have for our lives this morning in this service. Lord, we think of what Christmas means to us and what's special about Christmas, but truly the most special thing must surely be the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Simeon said, the salvation of God. Lord, I pray this morning for each one here that they would be just free from distraction, that their minds could be focused on the Word of God. Lord, that you'd do a miracle and allow me to say things that would simply direct their attention to what the Holy Spirit wants them to see, and then that the Holy Spirit could use those things to speak to our hearts and to change us. I pray that you'd be with folks that cannot be here today, some traveling, some ill. I pray for folks today as they join together around the world to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, that perhaps today would be that day when Jesus would return. Amen. Just as Simeon was looking for the coming of the Lord, we are as well. I ask you now to bless each part of our service and each person who's here today. And Lord, again, we need your help, and we pray for it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Nobody here that I'm aware of has their name in the Bible, at least not referring to you. It might be your name referring to someone else. You might have a Bible name, but wouldn't it be amazing for God to take a portion of Scripture like this and dedicate it to your life? And oh, by the way, there are people in the Bible that God tells us a lot about that were not good people. This is a good fellow. I'm thinking of people like Ahab the king. Thinking of people like Jezebel. Thinking of people that in the Bible that were not godly, like Judas Iscariot. But this man is an example, and this man has some things that he could teach us that perhaps we could be a bit more like him, because, folks, this is a man that pleased God. The older you get, I think the more inclined you are to look at the fact that eternity is not so far away anymore. I knew an evangelist that was in his 50s, and he said, you know, every day I think more and more about standing before the Lord and what he's going to say about me and the account I have to give to him for my life. And this man, this evangelist, was a fine man. He preached in our church, and people got saved, and he went all over the country. He was a hard worker, preached our camp every summer. And he told me at one of those camps, he said, you know, I just feel like I need to get ready to meet the Lord. And I did not know, he did not know, that he and I would never see each other again. That fall, he had an appointment with a doctor, and he drove to the doctor, and the doctor said, your heart is about to fail. Called a helicopter, took him to a hospital in Pennsylvania, and before we could visit with him, he stepped into eternity. I'll tell you right now, you'd like to be in his shoes for a couple of reasons. One of them is he served God with his life. And when he stood before the Lord Jesus Christ, I have no doubt he will hear, has heard, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I think about that a lot. I think about that when people choose not to serve God. You realize when you choose to do things other than serve God, you're taking away from the reward that you're going to have in eternity, that you're forfeiting eternal rewards for temporary satisfaction. And folks, when you get to heaven, I just want you to know everything you have in this world is staying behind. The houses and the clothes and the material possessions you have, even the experiences you've had in this life, the good ones and the bad ones. There's a lot of experiences I'm glad to leave them behind. They were not pleasant. And then there's some experiences that were pleasant, but in either case, those things stay behind. And we step into eternity to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and to receive the things done in this body. This man, as you can see from the commendation God gives him, when he stands before the Lord, and he's done so already, is going to hear that, well done. And I'll show you why. And maybe some things you and I could seek in our lives to be ready when we stand before him. Because between now and this time next year, chances are some of us will step into eternity, some expected and some not expected. Whenever that day comes, you want to be ready. Amen. Here's some things we see about Simeon. Show you four of them if I could, and we might slip one if we have time, slip a fifth one in. First of all, this man was a man that was devoted. Now look at verse 25. There is a word in verse 25. It's the word devout. It is the idea of being careful about what you do, or cautious or diligent. And the interesting thing is, this is the first time this word is used in the New Testament, the word devout. It means taking hold on something well. It means walking carefully with God and not sloppy. Simeon was a man, it says, was just and devout. The word just means he is justified, which means his sins are forgiven, which means you'll meet him someday in heaven. And he was devout. Now, devoted, connected with God in a way that he walked carefully day by day. You know, it matters how we walk with God every day, not just Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. I'm glad you're here today, and praise the Lord. What a nice group we have this morning, and I'm so excited about Christmas. I just can't wait to give my grandkids the loudest toys on the market and send them home. Amen? And my wife saw a drum set the other day, and she thought, our grandsons need that. And I thought, no, they need one each. Amen? I love Christmas. I love the joy of being with family. I get two Christmases in a sense this year, because on Wednesday I'll be with my wife and my son and my daughter and my grandkids. And then on Thursday I'll be with my sister and my brother, who I didn't know until about this time last year. In fact, some of you might remember it was at the Christmas program a year ago that my sister, the only time she's ever been to church, and she came to see that Christmas program, took pictures of it, and you might pray for her. Her name's Linda, and my brother's name is Charlie, and I never had met them until this time last year. I get to spend Christmas with them on Thursday. Christmas is a great time. Christmas is a time that we enjoy because of the people that we spend time with. But folks, it ought to be important to us, and it ought to be a joy to us, because it's also a time when it reminds us of our God and how good he is to us. This devout man, why would he be this way? Why would he be devoted to God? Because of what God did for him. Amen? Amen. You know, if you stop and think about it, the Bible says every good gift cometh from above. Everything you have, your family, your health, your occupation, certainly your salvation, amen? Your church, your friends, your possessions, everything you have came from God. We know that for one reason, because we can look at a man named Job, and the minute God pulled back the protection, the devil wiped him out. Took away just what I described just now. Took away his family, took away his possessions, took away his health. Whatever you have today, folks, it came from God. Are you thankful for it? There's some young people here today, and their parents sacrifice to take care of them. And I remember, we were talking about this yesterday, when I was a little boy, buying Christmas gifts for my parents. You know, I never had anything that was of much value to my parents. I didn't have a whole lot, but I gave them a gift because of what they meant to me. Well, if we would do that for those around us, would we not give something to God? You've heard that little drummer boy song in the Christmas carol, and he's trying to think of what can he do? He has nothing. And he plays the drum for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think my favorite example of this would be a missionary named William Carey, who was in an evangelistic meeting in England back in the 15 or 1600s, and they took an offering, and Mr. Carey, the offering plates being passed around, Mr. Carey had no money at all. They were raising money to send the gospel to people around the world. They were raising the money so they could send somebody to go take the gospel to people in places like India and Africa and places like that. And Mr. Carey, who was just a poor shoemaker, he had not much of anything, he said to them, he said, gentlemen, I don't have any money to put in the offering plate, but I'll get in the offering plate. Amen? Now, you read his story, you want to read a good book. I gave that book away to a missionary, to a man in Mexico about a year ago, but I had an old copy of Mr. Carey's biography. It talks about all the success he had in India before he passed away, and he heard well done as well. He says, Pastor, what's your point? You know why we ought to be devoted to the Lord? Because of what he's done for us. And you may not think you have much to give God, but you know, it's just like me and my parents. I had nothing of value to give them that they really needed. I didn't have much money. I didn't have great possessions, but I could give them my heart. You don't have anything God needs, but he wants your heart. Amen? And if he has your heart, he'll have your devotion. And you'll be careful of how you live and how you walk and how you talk and what you do, and it'll change the way you live. This man was devoted. He had a devotion. Let's look at something else about him. Let's look at his desire. Look at verse 30, if you would. He says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But look what before that. Let's look at the whole sequence here. Look at verse 26. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. There was something Simeon wanted. You say, well, he probably wanted to be rich. It doesn't say that, does it? Well, he probably wanted to have a bigger house, or he probably wanted to have more friends, or he probably wanted to have, I don't know, better health or whatever. It doesn't say that. There was something he wanted, and God said, I'll give that to you. He wanted to see the Messiah. He wanted to see the Savior of the world. You know, it's interesting. You and I have access to God that few people in the history of the world have ever had. We've got a Bible.
Amen.
We've got a Bible in our language. Some people can't say that. We've got a pure Bible in our language. Amen. And when you read this Bible, you know who you're listening to? You're listening to God. You're hearing the words that God said. Someone says, well, Pastor, they were written in Hebrew and Greek. Isn't God good? He didn't just write the Bible. He gave us a copy in our language.
Amen.
And I won't get into the details except in a minute. I'll show you one kind of interesting thing in the passage. But when you read your Bible, you're hearing from God.
Amen.
If you really love somebody, you like to be around them. I've told you this many times, and I'm not ashamed or shy to say it. I really enjoy just sitting talking to my wife. It's even better when you have coffee. Amen? Coffee and a good conversation with your husband or your wife, that's wonderful. And we spend countless hours just talking. The other day, I got up, and I wasn't feeling perfect, and I was at home, and my son was there, and he and I just sat and talked for about an hour. That's great. I'll tell you why I know that's great, because I remember when I was talking to my dad, and I can't do that anymore. He's in heaven now. So you spend the time with your loved ones while you can. Amen? But when you have somebody that you love, you like to talk to them, and you like to hear from them. This is how we hear from God. We talk to him in prayer. Someone says, Pastor, I really don't enjoy praying. You don't enjoy talking to God? I don't understand that. Say, Pastor, I really don't read my Bible very often. You don't like to hear from God? Say, Pastor, I don't understand everything he says. Don't get me in trouble here. I don't understand everything my wife says either, but I'm glad to hear from her. Amen? She tells me that quite often, by the way. You don't understand. Okay. You know what? If you ask God, he'll explain it to you. Amen? Just keep on reading it. He was a man who had a desire. His desire was, I want to see the Savior. If you think about it, that's the greatest desire anybody could have. A lost person that doesn't know Jesus, I just want you to know, he loved you so much, he was willing to come to this world, be treated horribly, despised and rejected of men, and then he was willing to be unjustly crucified and die on a cross because he knew that that's what it would take to pay for your sins. And then he rose on the third day, which is proof that that sacrifice was accepted. He loves you that much. I think if there was anybody that loved me that much, I'd like to see him. Amen? I'd like to know him. I'd like to spend time with him. That was Simeon's desire. And you can see the revelation in verse 26. The Holy Spirit said, Simeon, we're going to do that. You're going to get to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, think about the life he lived after that revelation. He's getting up in the years, perhaps, and obviously he's thinking about his life coming to an end because it almost sounds kind of miraculous that he's going to get to see the Messiah before he dies. And so every day he gets a little older, and I'm sure every day he's thinking, maybe today's the day. Maybe today's the day. Maybe today's the day. And he's in the temple, and people are coming and going in the temple, and he's seeing these people come in and dedicate these children. That was God's command. They had to take the child to the temple and dedicate the child to the Lord. I wonder how many babies Simeon saw. Maybe that's the one. And then one day, here came Joseph and Mary with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he found out something he knew already. That's God keeps his promises. Amen? You know, God keeps his promises. He came into the temple, it says in verse 27, and the parents brought in the child Jesus. And that's when Simeon said in verse 29, Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace. He's talking about dying right there and going into eternity. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. He'd seen the Savior. Have you seen the Savior? I'm not talking about with your eyes. I'm talking about in your heart. Have you met him? Does he live there? He wants to. Say, well, Pastor, if I let Jesus into my heart, he might change my life. Oh, I hope so. I guarantee you this. You start talking to some folks in the room that he's come into your heart, and you ask them, did he make things better? Oh, yeah. Did he make things different? Oh, yeah. You see the satisfaction that Simeon had when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ? You can know that same satisfaction when he comes into your heart. Amen. Amen? He was a man that was devout. He was a man that had a desire. He was a man that had discernment. Now watch this. This is interesting. He starts describing the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 30. And folks, this is just pure prophecy. No one at this time could have known any of this unless God had revealed it to him. He says in verse 32, he's a light to lighten the Gentiles. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Now, if you were a Jew in this day in the temple, the Gentiles were the dogs of the world. You didn't even want to be around them. The Jews detested the Gentiles. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. And the Jews' concept of the coming of the Messiah is he's all ours. He's going to come to Israel. He is going to deliver us from the Roman bondage. He's going to be a king. He's going to give us victory in battle. And he's going to be that to us. And that's what they saw Jesus as. And if you just said, what about the Gentiles? They'd have said, who cares about the Gentiles? Forget the Gentiles. We're Jews. John chapter 1 says, he came unto his own, that's the Jews, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, here we are, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. When Simeon says to a light to lighten the Gentiles, in a little way he saw you getting saved. If you're a Gentile, and we all are. If you're saved and you're not a Jew, he's talking about you. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't just come for the Jews? Amen? He says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. A lot you could say about that. I'll just mention one thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, his glory came from the tribe of Judah, who was a son of Jacob. And for all eternity, God had planned that the Messiah would be a Jew. There are people today that hate the Jews. I've met some of them, unfortunately. I want you to know something. Our Savior came from Israel. And God's people are Israel, and He's not done with them yet. If you're saved, you're going to get to see, you have a ringside seat to see God deliver Israel from a Gentile world and then rule them for all eternity. Simeon had a discernment. He knew who Jesus was the minute he saw him. He knew he would see him before he died. He knew that Jesus alone is salvation. He knew that he's salvation for all men, all people in verse 31. He knew he's the Savior of Israel and the Gentiles in verse 32. And so he made a declaration. I want to show you something here in verse 33. This is interesting. Watch carefully with me, if you will. We'll look at this and we'll do one more thing and be done. Look at verse 33. In fact, maybe we can even read that first part together. Let's just read the whole verse together, if you would, with me. Here we go. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. That's an interesting thing to say. Joseph and his mother. That is the truth. Now, I'm just going to read you some quotes here. The NIV says the child's father and mother. The New Literal Translation says Jesus' parents. The ESV says his father and mother. The NASV, that's the New American Standard, says his father and mother. The reason for that change in those versions compared to Luke 2:33 in your Bible is that two men named Westcott and Hort changed the Greek. Who is the father of the Lord Jesus Christ? God. Joseph is not his father. Amen. Joseph is not his father by birth. Mary was Mary conceived miraculously by the Holy Spirit coming upon her. And it was not a physical event. It was a spiritual event that produced a physical result. Amen. Mary was a virgin, and she gave birth to a child. And that child was Jesus. His father was God. His blood was God's blood. His heritage was God's heritage. His inheritance is God's inheritance. His holiness is God's holiness. His lineage, his parent is not Joseph, it is God. Someone says, well, Pastor, don't you like the other versions of the Bible? I don't like it when they mislabel Jesus to be the son of a man instead of the son of God. He's the son of God, amen? That's one of thousands of examples like that. Now look at what he says about Jesus, and I'll go kind of fast and we'll be done. He says in verse 34, he is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. You know, to some people, the Lord Jesus Christ is an obstacle. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? He gets in their way. He gets in the way of their lifestyle. They would like to commit some certain sin and they'd like to indulge in that. And Jesus is an obstacle to that sort of thing because he says the wages of sin is death. And he describes what sin is. And folks, if we live in sin, we're going to die. Jesus is an obstacle to some because they want to rule their life. And Jesus says he wants to be our king. And I found out the hard way, and you have too, some of you, Jesus is a lot better king than we are. He can rule my life a lot better than I can rule my life. And you'll know that fully when you step into eternity. Why is Simeon a commendable man? Because he knew that Jesus had a right to rule his life. Why is my friend the evangelist is now with the Lord? Why is he a commendable man? Because he let God rule his life. When God rules your life, does that mean it's going to be easy? No, but it means it'll be worthwhile. Amen. Jesus' life wasn't easy, but it was worthwhile. If you're seeking an easy life, you're on the wrong track. Seek the life God has for you. And then when you step into eternity, you can turn around and look back and you can see, you know, God carried me through all those hard spots. And now for all eternity, I can enjoy the fact that I didn't waste my life. I lived it for him. That was the kind of man that Simeon was. Jesus is an obstacle to some, but it says he's set for the rising again of many in Israel. Jesus is an answer to some. Amen. He's the answer to your problems, if you let him be. He's the answer to my problems, the answer to my sin, answer to our needs. He's the answer for many people. It says, he shall be a sign that shall be spoken against. There are some people, sadly and amazingly, that make Jesus a target or an enemy. They oppose him. There are wicked people in this world today. Some of them call themselves atheists. Some call themselves humanists. Some of them don't care what they're called. They just live that way. And they oppose what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. The Bible says he will put all his enemies under his feet.
Amen.
One day he will be victorious. I'm glad I'm on his side. Amen?
Amen?
I'm glad to be on his side, not an enemy of his. Then in verse 35, and we're finished, right on time. He says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. And I know exactly what he's talking about. 33 and a half years or so later, or thereabouts, Mary watched as they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And being his mother, she's not the mother of God, by the way. She's the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. She is the flesh in the equation. She watched her son crucified and suffer and bleed and die for my sins, for your sins. And can you imagine the sadness in her heart? No mother wants to see their child suffer. You meet a mother who's got a suffering child, they would do anything to comfort their child. And yet she had to watch the Lord Jesus Christ crucified. And way back, right after he was born, this man named Simeon had already seen that. He knew God's plan. Let me ask you a couple of questions and we're going to be finished today. First of all, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Say, Pastor, how could I do that? The Bible says it's very simple. It says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe the gospel that Jesus died, the Son of God died and was buried and rose again the third day to pay for all of your sins, to pay for all your sins, and you call upon him, he'll save you. And he'll come into your heart, and you'll know it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, that's one question, but here's another question. When you stand before God one day, will God be able to see the things that God could see in Simeon? These good things we see in Simeon, can God see those in your life? Here's one. Are you devoted? There's some people that serve God when it's convenient. There's some people that don't serve God hardly at all. There's some people that come to church once in a while. There's some people that come to church every time the doors are open. There's some people that read their Bible every day. Some people that read their Bible once in a while. Some people might not read their Bible at all. Same thing goes for prayer. There's some people that are an encouragement to others, and they lift others up, and they're there to help them, and they're there to be a blessing to them. And there's some people that just take care of themselves. We understand in this world, if you want to be good at anything, you have to be devoted to it. You want to be a good athlete, you got to be devoted. You want to compete at the highest levels, you got to have the highest levels of devotion. Why would it be any different for Christians? And folks, God deserves our devotion. Amen?
Amen.
After what he did for us. Where are your desires? Simeon's desire was, if you want to call this, it's kind of an interesting way to look at it. He had one thing on his bucket list. I want to see Jesus. Once I've seen Jesus, that's enough for me. That's a pretty good list, amen? Some of us have all sorts of desires. We want to go places and do things and have things, and especially young people, they have lots of things they want. I know it's okay to want certain things, but you need to be careful. Jesus ought to come first in your life. And it takes a while perhaps to learn that, but he can. What's your decision? Simeon made a decision. He had decided that there was one thing that he was wanting before he died, and that was to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, think about that carefully. Every one of us is going to die. If you have received Christ before you die, the minute you, the Bible says to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Our brother Dan Ball is facing death. He's talking about going into hospice sometime very soon, and he understands he's going to leave this life here pretty soon. He is absolutely not afraid of that. In fact, he's looking forward to that day when he's not in pain forever. That day when he's with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. You need to make a decision whether or not you want Jesus Christ in your life. He's willing to come in. Amen? Amen. Simeon, he's devoted. He's made that decision. He's got that discernment to see the things in the Bible, like the crucifixion, for example. What about you and I? If God was to write 10 verses about you, what would your desire that would be listed? What would your desire be? If God was to write 10 verses about you, what would he say that was the paramount thing in your life? What is the greatest accomplishment? If you wanted to ask somebody, what's Simeon's greatest accomplishment? He got to see Jesus. And folks, that's a great accomplishment. What's the great accomplishment in your life? Is it in this world, or does it have to do with the next? Is it all about here, or is it about the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope you know him, amen? I hope you love him. I hope you're devoted to him. I think you understand how important that is, because one day we're going to see him. Interesting thought, and I'm done. God promised. He said, you know, Simeon, before you die, the Holy Spirit says you will get to see the Messiah. There's a bunch of us here today. We talk about it quite a lot. We're looking forward to the rapture. Simeon saw his first coming. I'd like to see his second. Amen?
Amen.
When you meet Simeon in heaven, you can say to him, must have been an amazing day, Simeon, when Jesus, as a baby, came into the temple and you got to see him. How did you feel? And we kind of see that right here. But wouldn't it be great to say, hey, Simeon, we were there the second time he came.
Amen.
And he raptured us up to be with him for all eternity. Think about the rapture. One of these days, the Bible says in Thessalonians, the Lord is going to descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. All those people that have died, and I can't explain all that because their bodies have been decomposed or whatever, but somehow their body is going to rise from that grave. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then the Bible says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Clearly an event in this atmosphere. How many of you have never flown before? You're going to get to. Amen? With no airplane. And you're going to be caught up if you're saved. Now, if that event happened today, if it happened right now, I've not seen it, obviously, so I can only guess based on what the Bible says. But the Bible says it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. Less than a fraction of a second. And I think what's going to happen is this. 1 minute, the room's going to be full of people. And the next minute, one or two are going to be left in this room. If Jesus came back today, would you be taken or would you be left? How would I know, someone says. Does Jesus live in your heart? If Jesus lives in your heart, you're going with him. Amen?
Amen.
Say, Pastor, I have an appointment tomorrow. Not anymore. Pastor, I've got bills to pay this week. No. Pastor, I didn't get the house clean enough. It's okay.
Amen.
Somebody else can take care of that. Pastor, I'm not through Christmas shopping yet. Well, you spend Christmas with Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
What better gift is there than that? Do you know him? Amen. Does he live in your heart? If he does, you can meet Simeon one day and exchange thoughts. Simeon, glad to meet you. Tell me about it one more time. What was it like to see Jesus as a baby? Because I know what it's like to see him as a Savior, because I've done that already. Let's all stand and pray.